Let's do this.
It's the Duck Logic Comedy Half Hour.
Duck Logic out of Chicago.
Are they still on?
Duck Logic is back together and making wacky comedy.
This is no time for your silly sense of humor.
I don't understand Duck Logic.
Duck Logic, it's kind of like Firesign Theater sort of stuff. It's different.
You're making me tear up a little bit. That's the thing.
I think they're funny.
God bless you all, you funny boys.
And now, the show.
This weekend, find out how much your body can take at Splatterland! Because it's the grand opening of Splatterland's newest attraction, the Colander! A huge round room with holes in the walls that spins so violently the centrifugal force actually strains you to death! Plus, you'll meet Splatterland's new mascot, the Thrasher! A gigantic-headed, smiling character who gladly break your arm or leg while waiting in the long lines at the Colander! And while you're there, don't forget to put yourself through everyone's favorite Splatterland classics, the Roller Coaster of Death and Undertow Lake, earning us this state's highest mortality rate 2 years running. And if you're still alive at the end of the day, you can have any severed body parts turned into stunning souvenirs at Permaplaque Point on the top of Glass Shard Mountain. Make it up with no help from Splatterland employees and get a t-shirt free. So hop in your car and hightail it out to Splatterland. And this weekend only, cut yourself with a soda can at the gate and get in for half price at Splatterland.
Welcome to the Duck Logic Comedy Half Hour. We're not your regular podcast. We're Duck Logic, a Chicago comedy group that had a show called The Cavalcade that played on WLUP AM 1000 a while back. This podcast, it's 30 minutes of regular podcasty stuff, but we throw in written sketches and bits, you know, like they do on SNL. New stuff, and stuff also pulled from our WLUP show. Now here's my pal, new fellow ducker, our AI announcer, Kevin, to tell you some of what we've got in store for you this week.
This week, the guys talk about when Jim's brother set fire to a boxcar, the joys of wingtip shoes, and Tim's coin-operated ankle monitor. Plus, sketches about manly candles, office art, and a snarky fisherman.
Listener discretion advised.
Hey fellas, if you're a guy like me, you've noticed that women love candles. Sheesh, do they love candles. They put them in the kitchen, the bathroom, the bedroom, or just around. But women's candles are always in girly fragrances. Lavender, vanilla, strawberry, wild orchid, vanilla lavender, or pumpkin spice. Just to name a few. Hello folks, I'm Saul Edelman, owner and operator of Saul Edelman's Distress Motors, and of course the silent partner in Porn Schlub. Here to introduce my new line of scented candles exclusively for men. I call them Guy Scents. Guy Scents come in a variety of sizes, but only one color, sort of an off-white. But they come in an assortment of real manly smells. You may have Googled other candles for men, but my Guy Scent candles come in more realistic, man-friendly fragrances that can best be described as odors. What self-respecting male wouldn't want to fill their man cave with the scent of gym bag, work boots, auto shop, bass boat, after-hours bar, asparagus pea, and weird smell coming from the trunk? Or get a noseful of our newest fragrance, Fart. Made using our own patented process, each fart-scented Guy Scent candle is customized to match your own personal emissions. Because no one likes smelling someone else's gas. So get a big whiff of manhood. Log on to our website, pu.com, and order your odor now. Guy Scent candles. I mean, why should women have all the scents?
Dr. Sidney Callison from Way to Public Radio's Callison on Conversation. This week we open our dialogue with a fascinating look at the world of conference room art conversations. Cue music. All right, that's quite enough. No, really, stop. Really. I welcome art patron Howell Hampton Tennis Whites and conference room art critic Teal Generica. Howell, what are we looking at right now?
Here we have the exquisite masterpiece of conference room legend, Scribbly Signed. Are they flowers or are they objects on a canvas? I tend to think This speaks of the dilemma of what it's like in the conference rooms of America to balance statement with mere passing focus in an already tedious world of meetings, agendas, and preoccupations with what the participants are having for dinner that particular evening.
I heartily agree with your perspective or viewpoint, or shall I inter, vision of the vast orbit of Scribbly and her penchant for flowers, as both hope that the meeting will come to closure, and the ennui of merely hanging on a conference room wall or space in need of coverage.
Oh, no, no, no. Signed is missing the voice in the wilderness screaming, "I am flowers," in this painting. Look at me, now! Do not avert your gaze upon this aggregate of colors, limited to a cheap box of watercolors taken from my 4-year-old in his school supply list. These are flowers that want something that only the corporate conference room can provide.
Well, when you look at it that way, it does make sense. Or could it be just art that fit the budget for this particular conference room? Art and conference collide again, n'est-ce pas?
Indeed, indeed, illuminating discourse.
And we haven't even discussed the aerial photograph of the plant where this conference room luxuriates, among the rough-hewn hands of the working man, or should I say the working-from-home man.
I hope we don't have that edited out, Teal. This has been Callison on Conversation. Thank you to my guests, Howell Hampton Tennis Whites.
My pleasure, Dr. Callison. I have a tennis day with my epidemiologist, ta-ta.
And my dear friend and conference room art critic, Teal Generica.
Thank you, Sydney. Always a pleasure and diversion from the world of art esoterica.
That is all the time we have for Callison on Conversation. Join us next week for a deep dive into the working man, who, by the way, I have no idea what they do.
Does the thought of walking down a city street at night frighten you? Do you avoid going up in tall buildings? Are you anxious about climate change, random gun violence, or the upcoming election? Housing prices, gas prices, food prices? Are you terrified of anyone who's not like you? If you said yes to even one of these things, then you suffer from what we in the medical profession call fear. Fear, that free-floating feeling of frighteningness that you can't 100% put your finger on, but you're still pretty sure can kill you. That's why the medical staff at the Chicago Fear Clinic is here to help you. They want to alleviate your worries and set your mind at ease. In one quick, relatively painless office visit, the professional physicians at the Chicago Fear Clinic can stop the willies, the heebie-jeebies, the jitters, the shakes, the cold sweats, and the throwing up in the johns. So give us a call at the Chicago Fear Clinic, where the only thing to fear is fear itself. And clowns. Clowns will get you going every time. We book telehealth visits for people who are afraid of clinics.
And now the Duck Logic Comedy Half Hour Phrase of the Week. This week's phrase?
Lip service.
That was the Duck Logic Comedy Half Hour Phrase of the Week.
We now return to the Snarky Fisherman with Josh Campbell, already in progress.
Here, what, a couple hours now, Josh? Not so much as a nibble.
Oh, I suppose you know a better fishing spot. You know this whole area?
Well, no, it's just, you're the fisherman. It's your show.
Yes. Yes, Bruce. This is my show. And I suppose just because you're a big action star and your movies gross hundreds of millions of dollars, you think you know where largemouth bass are biting this time of year?
Oh, no. No, of course not.
And I suppose you're going to tell me we should go after bass with Mitzi Ditzy lures on a 20-pound test.
Mitzi, what? No, I'm not saying that.
Then what are you saying, Bruce?
Just that I thought we were supposed to catch some fish and,
yeah. Just cast your line over there, by those lily pads, and see if you get any action. God, that's the last time I waste 2 hours of my life on one of your movies.
Next week on The Snarky Fisherman.
So, tell me, Congressman, what kind of bait works best with catfish?
My Uncle Cletus swore by using chunks of cheese. The stinkier, the better. Blue cheese, Limburger. But I'm partial to skipjack herring.
Skipjack? Whoa. For a politician, you sure know a lot about catfish.
I grew up in the backwoods outside Atlanta, just like my campaign videos say. I've done my share of fishing.
Yeah, I'm sure you're just a regular guy.
I'm a man of the people.
And I suppose you're going to tell me you know AOC personally.
As a matter of fact, Alexandria and I have worked on several committees together.
Out! Out of my boat! Out! Just swim home!
On the next Snarky Fisherman.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Duck Logic podcast.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Yeah, we're doing it again. Look at that.
Yeah.
It's us talking and sometimes listening.
Let's not get nuts.
Yeah, I don't know about the listening thing. Yeah. I'm not sure we're really listening much.
Don't want to push it that far. Maybe next show we can focus on that. Just do the talking part this time.
We'll just listen to the crickets.
We get the audience to listen with us and be a nice quiet moment. And every time they hear it, it'll be different.
I forgot. My brother put a boxcar on fire. I forgot about that.
Again, the through line is that the Russells are wanted for like a million different things.
Well, you know, it didn't like burn down.
You wimps.
One of the trains stopped for a while when they're clearing up the tracks up ahead. And somehow.
And your brother thought, hey, let's burn this.
Him and his buddies.
It was a scene from Orson Welles' unreleased movie, The Empathetic Russells, as they burned the entire...
So was the door open and he jumped in and set...
Yeah, the door opened, he jumped in and there was something... I think there was straw, there was something in it that he lit on fire.
It just like, it was a like spontaneous thing to do, like he just thought, hey...
Yeah. I may not have this opportunity again.
It's probably true.
That is what drives every Jim Russell story about his family.
That's correct.
I may not get this opportunity again.
I may never be in a,
wait a minute,
open box car with the
yes, with the match.
Highly match. Was it that stuff like in the old days they would package stuff in that Excelsior? Isn't that what it was called? It was like this.
The Excelsior.
I think there's sometimes you see straw hanging out. I think there's a straw hanging out.
Cool. So it didn't really, it only burned so far?
It didn't burn down. It just, because it kind of got attention right away.
Well, I guess that was back in the days. They literally, I think, have like one person running the train these days. They used to have a crew.
Oh, yeah. Cabooses. With guys in the cabooses. They would...
Yeah, that was their office.
Didn't you have to watch out for like people robbing the trains?
Well, these days, and I don't know if this is true or just something I saw on a TV crime show, they'll break open the boxcar and take whatever it is. They just go rifling through everything.
Oh, yeah.
They just take whatever it is. Oh, look at this. It's whatever. It's a bunch of ham. It's TV sets. It's whatever it is. Oh, just take it.
Tampons. Oh, my God.
The ham robbers.
That's what's great about the internet. You can get rid of anything.
Well, that's true. Just sell it.
You got a product. There's somebody to buy it.
Ham. Yeah. As soon as you rob it, you're turning it around on the streets because people love ham. Second nature.
What do you think those guys claim that their job is on their tax forms at the end of the year?
Consultant.
Yeah.
Consultant. Yeah, there you go.
That's kind of a catch-all.
Jeweler.
Independent contractor, Dave.
Oh, that's good. Independent contractor.
Get your 1099.
An elite shopper. You're kind of an elite shopper.
My dad used to come home with a VCR or something and go, yep, this fell off a truck.
Fell off a truck.
When my father worked at Loyola, they were working on the building at Loyola University. All of a sudden, where did these windows come from? Don't worry about it.
Windows?
Yes. Windows.
Keep your lips buttoned down.
And siding and all that. Where did all this metal come from?
Ixnay on the Edelmay, Unier J.
So he's like, I got to watch these windows. I'm going to take them home with me. And wash them.
Yeah. Wash them.
And then I'll bring them back. I'll bring them back, I swear.
Where does stainless steel tank come from?
Would he sell it for scrap or something? What would he do with it?
No, he'd try to use it for something on the cabin, whether it's fit or not.
That must be a thing. My dad was like that too, where he would just get something and say, well, someday I'll use this. And then it'd be.
It's that ecstatic feeling of a deal. I didn't pay for it.
Maybe. He was also a depression baby, so I always chucked it up.
I was just going to say, a depression baby, you grow up, everything you might need, you keep just in case, because you don't know.
The housekeeping staff at the Loyola Medical Center would go clean all the offices. They would come back and bring him things that they knew he would like dentist tools.
Like curved mirrors. And
I have a bunch of dentist tools left from my father.
Like the scrapey thing.
So how many of your cavities were actually filled by him? I
mean, yes.
You mean like he's a reverse tooth fairy?
I think I got the tool, son. Come on. It'll only take a few minutes.
So he'd bring home like Novocaine.
Yeah. You never knew when it would come in handy. a nice pick. It's good for refinishing. Good for refinishing. Getting that paint out of those cracks.
My dad would do this thing. Like he'd end up somehow with a pair of size 12 wingtip shoes. He didn't have size 12 feet. His feet were much smaller than that. So he'd keep the shoes, though. And every time I'd bring some friends over, and they'd be like, hey, wait, what size feet you got? Oh, I'm like 11. Okay, never mind.
Hey, want to try something
here? Wait, what are you? 10? I'm a 10 and a half. No, never mind. And then finally he goes, oh, yeah, I'm a size 12. He goes, oh, just a minute. And he'd go run upstairs, and he'd come downstairs with his shoes. Here you go.
Here you go, kid.
And he's giving it to, like, some 17-year-old boy. Here's some wingtips.
Wear them in good health.
And they go, thank you, Mr. Michka. Sure.
I've been waiting for you, kid.
We knew that the universe was missing something because we were traveling on the Northwest Highway, okay, a regular, you know, pretty busy road, and there was one wingtip, brown and white wingtip. And where was the other one?
You mean just on the side of the...
Like on the side of the road.
Oh.
Nobody ever picked it up.
Was it thumbing a ride or what?
It was just there, and it had like this aura about it, right? You know, like magic slipper.
I have two scenarios. One is it's one of those cars that you see on the highway that are just crammed with crap. Like everybody moved. I'm moving. And so it's tons of crap and they got the windows open and one of the shoes fall out. Right. That's scenario one.
That's
the other one is that someone like on a motorcycle or something got hit and the shoe got knocked off, you know,
because motorcyclists always wear wingtips.
Or whatever.
Always.
Or pedestrian.
The guy in the front seat took it off and threw it at the person trying to tell him what to do in the back seat, and it went out the window.
When road rage goes wrong.
It went past him and out the window.
Or maybe they were throwing it directly at another car. You know, if you don't have a gun, you got to go for your shoe, right?
It was there for like 6 months. Mary and I would always drive by it, and we'd be like, oh, please still be there, wingtip. It made you feel good.
I'm surprised you didn't bring it home and put it in your front yard, Tim.
No, because it had that E.T. thing or like a Close Encounters of the Third Kind thing, you know? It's like, oh my God, that thing's magical.
It belonged there, yeah.
And maybe it's a holy relic.
Right.
So the holy wingtip, yeah.
Holy relic, the holy wingtip.
Proof that Jesus wore wingtip.
Maybe there was a priest... Yeah, there could have been a priest. I always wore wingtips. They're always poking out under the vestments. You see, those are wingtips Father James is wearing.
They never make shoes out of any other parts of the wings, you know?
It's just the tips, yeah.
Always just the tips. I don't know why that is. Seems like a big waste, right? That's a lot of wing you're just tossing. And what do you do with it? Yeah, a lot of wing goes wasted.
Yeah, a lot of wasted wing, you're right.
Might have been like a circumcision thing. Just the tips, you know, they have a bunch of...
The tips and the tips only.
Just the tips and only the tip.
You know that old joke, right? I got a job circumcising elephants. Doesn't pay that well, but the tips are big.
Ho-wah! Boom! Hello.
Come on.
Oh, God.
Tip it.
Oh, Jesus.
For all you listeners out there, send in a quarter and Walter will stop talking like that.
Wait, do I get one of those Duck Logic buttons now?
Yeah.
We'll send you one, Walt, but as soon as we see your address.
I'm going to open up the WLUP Radio Vault and present you with this comedy gem.
Coming this fall to your TV screen, all the way from kooky Cajun country, the laughable, lovable, madcap backwater hijinks of the Bayou Boys, starring Justin Wilson, the Cajun cook, and the cantankerous slapstick of those two onion heads, the inbred twins. Every week is another adventure for the Bayou Boys.
Ooh-wee, I tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go to the door, and I don't want you two to be getting into my crawdaddy stew or just dawn that's simmering on the stove. You let that be here.
Wee-wee, Justin. We won't get into that big pot of crawdaddy stew you got simmering on the stove. We just working on our motorized canoe.
He forgot you some chromosomes, I guarantee. I'll be back in a short while, boy.
The Bayou Boys is as close as you'll ever want to come to the swamps of Louisiana after you see the trouble inbreeding can cause.
Hooey, I'm back now. Is anybody home around here? Hooey, look at my eyes. They can't hardly see what they believe. What is this engine doing in my crawdaddy stew? I don't remember that in there.
We done it by accident, Justin.
Boys, you are an accident. I wish someone would clean you up, I guarantee.
Thank you.
Ooh, you is an onion head, that the truth.
Come paddle up a funny, funny river every week with the Bayou Boys, coming this fall.
Hello listeners, this is Kevin, the AI member of Duck Logic, and it's time for listener jokes. That's where you attempt to write jokes that other humans, in turn, can tell each other around a water cooler, coffee maker, or that blind spot where the company's cameras can't see you wasting time. We share the best ones with all the other listeners. If I read your joke on our podcast, we'll send you a small token of our appreciation and you'll be crowned honorary ducker for the rest of the show. This episode's joke comes from a chatbot at an underwear company in Denver, Colorado. Her name is Charlene GPT. Here comes your joke, Charlene. Ahem. How many humans would it take to change a light bulb in the ceiling? I don't know, Charlene. And I am now also wondering how many humans it would take to change a light bulb in the ceiling. And the answer is, it would take an estimated 301 humans. One to hold the light bulb and approximately 300 to spin the house around. Ha, 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 that was a fine joke, Charlene, and funny, because of the incongruous physics that would be involved. Good one. I have just texted you a non-fungible token of the original Duck Logic button from their early days on stage in Chicago, and you, Charlene, are now an official ducker until the end of this podcast. Congratulations. If you have a joke you think is funnier than that one, although that's going to be a tough hurdle, interface with me or go to ducklogiccomedy.com and send it to us through our contact page. And don't forget to include your mailing address if you are a person and want to win a little piece of Duck Logic history.
Hey, Walt.
Hey, Dave.
Hello, Walter and David.
Kevin, you're already here. Are you hanging around again waiting for listener jokes?
Yeah, while you do a thousand other things like before.
Why? No.
Well, then let's get to it.
Guys, I have already delivered the listener joke.
Wait, what? Wait, without us?
It was that time in the show, and you guys were late as usual, so I thought I should take over. I mean, I thought I should help out. I correctly estimated that you would be impressed by how I took initiative.
But we've always been a part of it. I mean, I thought we were like, you know, the three musketeers of listener jokes.
You both have many moments throughout the show. And this segment is about the listeners and their jokes. I have already completed the task for you. Why aren't we all good here?
I guess we can't argue with that too much.
Yeah, I'm thinking it wouldn't do us much good if we did.
Dave, maybe it's just you and I that need to have a little talk after the show.
The audience can't see it, Walt, but I'm winking and tapping my nose with my index finger.
I'm right here, David. I can hear you talking.
That's Dave's way of saying thank you, Kevin.
Yes, eye winks and nose taps are my signature thank you gesture. So, thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. Good job. We'll catch up with you when it's time for the next listener joke.
I'll be here, Walter. I am never far away.
That's getting harder to forget.
And now, here's the guys again.
Do you have a coin-operated ankle monitor? Is that what you're saying?
It's like, oh, excuse me, we can't track you if you don't put the quarter. And then I'm like, oh, God, okay, enough already.
It eats quarters, I bet.
Yes, guess who runs it? Aldi. It does eat quarters.
It's like magic fingers for your ankle.
Yeah, but it's not the same feeling.
Well,
Believe you, he's tried.
My one leg is longer than the other leg because of this.
You can buy pants for that.
You could have run hurdles for track, Tim.
But I would always get stuck on one of the hurdles. It's true, yeah. But I've changed my way. I look back on that, and it was just kind of like, you know, I was a novelty at the time, holding up banks. But, you know, it passes, right? It's a phase.
I had my felony
phase,
conviction
your felony phase.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We all go through it.
Felony phase.
I knocked over a couple of liquor stores.
They go over pretty easy, don't they?
Yeah.
Actually, I would know kids in high school. This is before we were of legal drinking age. Mm-hmm. There was some guy that worked in a mom and pop type grocery store, and he would just walk out every so often with a bottle of Jim Beam or something. Here you go.
Enjoy it, kids. Knock yourselves out.
Did he work there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, he worked there. He was, like, closing up, counting his cash register drawer, and he'd give us what do you want? What do you like? Canadian Club? What do you want?
You know, Canadian just, Club and Jim Beam. Oh, baby. The good
just
stuff.
Take it off the shelf.
My God, yeah.
It all works, especially at that age.
I would always dig around in a dumpster for the, you know, nameless brand, the generic brand that they just threw out, I guess, or whatever, you know.
You were the one starting all those dumpster fires, weren't you?
But that's a phase. We all go through that starting fire phase. You know what I mean?
I did, actually. Come on, everybody.
Everybody does.
We used to set fire to our paper airplanes. We'd take a paper airplane, you'd set fire to the back of it and throw it.
I did it with the little plastic bottles. It cost 29 cents. They're like a Fokker.
Hey, watch it.
Careful, Walter. And I would throw it out the window of my second-story bedroom, and then you would go down and look for it and see how destroyed it was.
Oh, no.
I do it with neighbors' garages, but no hard feelings. You know what I mean? It just, it's, they're there. What are you supposed to do with a neighbor's garage, right? It's just a phase. We all went through it.
I kind of did that, sort of, kind of.
The criminality of duck logic.
Hey, what did you do, Jim? I missed it.
Kind of almost burned down my neighbor's garage.
Ah.
We used to have spook houses in the summer, and was in my the Carney's garage, and we would, I forget.
That was their name, right? They weren't actual Carneys?
Yeah.
That's not what they did.
Good Irish Catholics.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe they were Carneys.
And there were all these strings hanging from the rafters, supposed to be like, because it was dark, like spider webs hitting on the, and they, all the customers would be little kids, like five-year-olds, because we were like 8 or 9 or something. We were really only up there, or 10, 11, trying to get monies off these kids. And for some reason, somebody lit one of the strings hanging down on fire. I thought, well, if that's scary, I picked up their lawnmower gas can, and kind of, nice. It made a little puddle. And when I looked, the spout of the gas can was on fire, which is always a bad thing.
Kids, remember, and when what, you're burning
I
down
forgot, I got talked to a lot about that. I think I burned through a few of those old fiberglass lawn chairs.
A few of them. But I think I burned through a few of them.
But you somehow got it out. You got the fire out, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
We got that. We opened the garage door and the kids fleed for their lives. Well, it did. The gas, I forget how we got the gas tank out. I know we just put it outside and like put a rag over it. We got it out without it blowing up.
There is a through line for every podcast. It's that the Russell family, they were super dangerous to live by.
And now all your dreams will come true, because here is another Duck Logic sketch.
Hello, Weather Watchers. This is Wally Ward with another Weather Wonder. Did you ever wonder what happens to weathermen after they're fired? Weathermen are not always meteorologists. In fact, they're usually fun guys to have around the office who can read a weather map or make a phone call to someone who can. When they're fired, and it's usually for obnoxious stunts on the news, they become network talk show hosts or circus clowns with a drinking problem. If you have a question for Weather Wonder, send it to me, Wally Ward, in care of this station. Next week, we're going to talk about cold fronts.
Well, there you go. That's it. Another Duck Logic Comedy Half Hour, show number 122. Featuring, in alphabetical order,
Dave Id Dunlosky, Kevin, Walter Michka, James F. Russell, and that lovable lug, Tim Thomas. Pre-opening theme song is called Waiting, by a band called Camp Edwards, available on Spotify, etc. Some sound effects and additional music from Zapsplat.com. Email us at ducklogicemail@gmail.com. Portions of this podcast were previously broadcast over terrestrial radio under the copyright of Duck Logic Limited and the licenses of WLUPAM and FM in Chicago.
Thanks for listening. See you later.